just meant the world to me over the last, 5 months. It's a scripture I'd heard before, but I don't think I really understood it, and God has started to plant that deep into me, and I hope he does the same for you today. So as we go on this journey and have gone on this journey together, this peace and pace, and it's difficult, right? So we're all our own level of busy, and I can talk about my busy, and some of you, like this week, man, I was counting up the games because it's on now. It's basketball season for us. Tuesday night we got games in middle school game in Fuquay, and then we got to drive to Cary Academy and get there for tip-off of my girls' game, followed by my son's game, and just three games on Tuesday, three games on Thursday, two games on Friday. You name a place in Wake County, we're probably going to be there this week, right? And some of you would look at our schedule as the Jones family and be like, you guys are nuts, right? What is wrong with you? You need to practice a little more what you're preaching. Some of you would look at our schedule and be like, man, I'd kill for a week like that, right? That's nothing, because you're not like getting on a plane and you're not having to do that. So it's all relative to our own, you know, perspective. But what we all have in common is a tendency, right, to go so fast that we miss some things, right? So here's the problem. Let me just break it down like this. We, as Christ followers, now I know everybody in the room has not made a commitment to Jesus, and we're so glad you're here, right? But for those in the room who would say, I follow Jesus, the result of that should be like a different kind of peace, right? There's supposed to be, Jesus claims to offer us something that doesn't go away, right? The crazy life, crazy circumstance, crazy tragedy, there's a peace that nobody can take away from me that Jesus provides. That's what he claims. There's supposed to be a lack of uptightness to Jesus' people. Is that the case? All right. You didn't have to answer so confidently with that groan, right? I didn't know much of this. It really hit me, I guess, when I was about 20 years old. I had, you know, several jobs. You know, my dream job as a kid, I mowed yards. Man, it was the best. You break it down for money per hour, and you're out in the sunshine, like, that's the job, right? So I did that. And then I worked at a store that only a few of you know and remember because it did not make it. Jay Riggins. Anybody remember Jay Riggins? Seven of us remember. It was trendy, as you can tell. It was like a mall guy's clothing store. Worked there. But then the job that matters right now is my wife and I, at the time she was my girlfriend, we worked the same job together, which is romantic as all get out, right? We worked at Olive Garden together. Right back in about 1996, and Hospitaliano, we sang the song. You know, it was some fun times in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So in that, we worked, you know, not always the same shift, but a lot of the same shifts. We rarely worked Sunday. We were, you know, committed to church and tried to be at church every once in a while. And what I was kind of surprised by is nobody wanted to work Sundays. Right, everybody wanted Friday night and Saturday night. That's where you make the money, right? You make more money on Friday and Saturday night than you can work every lunch shift in the week. But Sunday, I thought, you know, be Friday night first, Saturday night second. The third most busy shift of the week would be Sunday lunch. And it is. But nobody wanted to work it. Because that's when the church crowd comes. Right? It's like, well, so what? Like, I didn't get it, right? And it was partly financial. They weren't known to be the most generous tippers. But part of it was they just were the grumpy, like the most complaining, like, and again, I don't want to stereotype, that's not who Christians are, right? This is just in the restaurant world, and maybe it's just in Winston-Salem and Olive Garden, right? But I bet, because we got some servers in our church, I bet if we ask them today in 2019, there's still somewhat of a stigma on Sunday afternoon. So if you are so blessed to go eat at a restaurant after we're done here, like, be nice and tip well. Right? Because you represent Jesus. But bigger than that, I think either one of these is true. Maybe there's a third option. I think either A, we're missing something as far as what Jesus offered and called us to, or Jesus is a fraud. Right? Let's go with A, right? Because either we're supposed to be living in something that he can't really deliver on, and we're his people and we're with him and it's just not real, or we're missing something, and I don't want us to feel guilt. I want us to feel like, hey, I want to step into whatever we might be missing. Because we're a relentless church. Good grief, we named our church after a relentless God who doesn't give up on anybody, and anybody means everybody, and everybody includes you. Right, everybody in the room, like there's a relentless love that's available for you that he wants to completely turn your life upside down in a good way with. We talk about being a church for the untold and unconvinced. What's that mean? We love people that aren't there yet, because all of us used to, at one point, we're not there yet. So we have a heart in trying to design some things for people that aren't sure if Jesus is legit, right? If that's you, we're glad you're here. I've been blessed to have multiple conversations through our 5 years with people that would say, hey, I'm not sure what I believe. I'm not sure if I'm committed to this Jesus thing, and I love those conversations. One common thread through a lot of those conversations is so much respect. It's men and women saying, hey, I'm not what you would call a believer at this time, and if I ever am, I'm not going to do it halfway. Right, what they're saying is, listen, I've seen examples of people that say they've got this life-changing relationship with Jesus, and they really don't seem much different than me. If I ever go in on this, like I'm not gonna go halfway. I'm not gonna be that hypocrite that drives me crazy, right? Which is hard, because in some ways we're all hypocrites, but I get what these people are saying, which is, hey, if it's real, then I'm gonna be real in it. I'm not gonna halfway it. If it's real, and we can come and have a real relationship with a real Jesus, here's what I want us to hear from Jesus today of what he's looking for in that. And it's going to come back and weave through our whole cool it now, slow down, and all of that. We had this incredible men's retreat. Hopefully you've seen some stuff on it and are excited about going on the next one, right? We said we're just going to do one and see how it goes. Well, there's no doubt that 2020 will be a continuation of what we did. And it was competitive, right? As it should be. So one of the first things we did when we got to the men's retreat is we picked, I had selected, because I would get blamed for teams being not fair, right? So I picked some team captains, two captains for each team, four teams, so eight guys. We got around a ping pong table, and I had every name of a guy on the retreat, and I put them on the ping pong table, and they had a draft, and I said, you don't know what we're going to compete at, but you need guys who can think well, who can aim well, who can run well, and who can dodge well, right? Try to give them a little bit, and strength. So I gave them the stuff that was important, and then they had a draft, right? They went around and they drafted. Now, we didn't let the guys hear, because somebody might get their feelings hurt, right? But they drafted into their teams who they picked based on what I told them they needed, and based on who they knew the men to be. And everybody got put on a team from the first round to the last round. Right? It made the team somewhat more powerful, because you knew, hey, I'm not randomly put on this team. Somebody picked me to be on this team. Right? I want you to hear this morning who Jesus is looking for. Right? He tells us in this amazing few verses that have meant the world to me. He tells us who he's inviting on his team. And it may not be who you expect. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 is where we'll start. He says, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, here's who I'm picking. Give me the weary and the burdened. That's who I want on my squad, right? I don't know if that describes any of you. We're kind of, in our culture, weary and burdened are not stuff we want to wear on our sleeve. Like, if you are weary and burdened, you kind of try to hide that, right? You definitely don't come to church and wear the weary. I haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of crazy t-shirts in this church. I've yet to see the weary, burdened t-shirt. All right, let's look at those words. Weary. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. What is weary? I think of, it's not necessarily physical, although it affects your physical, but it's this mental exhaustion. Anybody ever been there? Right, it has nothing to do with age. I look at our young people in the room, and the pressure that they can put on themselves, or we can put on them academically and athletically and socially and successfully and resume and job and college, and I'm all about driving and ambition and all that, but sometimes, man, we look at our young people and you look in their eyes and you see weary, right? We wear it, we tend to wear it in our eyes. I was so blessed. Please hear this story correctly. Last year, We had a small group thing going, a bunch of small, and there was one small group that became my favorite small group because of this story. And they just felt God put it on their heart, like, don't do this, but this is just what they did. They wanted to bless the Jones family, right? So they decided on their, they got us a gift basket for our family, right? So super sweet, super generous, super humbling. And in this basket was everything you can imagine, right? It was a gift basket. We had gift cards to movie theater, gift cards to restaurants, like food. They bought me, which is relevant today, they bought me a sweet, I should have brought it, a Carolina Panthers chair. Like a sit out in front of your lawn, like sweet fold up Panthers chair, right? So 425, pray for the Panthers today. So all this beautiful stuff, it was not a gag gift. It was serious, like, blessing on us, right? Beautiful. But I asked my wife to bring it today. And stuck into that bag, you're not going to be able to see this, was this, which says, I rescue gel. I-E-Y-E. I rescue gel for all skin types. Firms and tightens the eye area. Fades the look of dark circles. Brightens tired-looking eyes. They just snuck that in the bag. And my family and my wife were like, man, what a basket. And all I could look at was the tired eyes. Like, I think that's nice. Like, they're trying to love me, but kind of around the way, but I'm insulted. Because I do. I wear it when I'm weary. When I wear it and somebody thinks I need to clean that up, I'm going to wear it with pride. Because Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary. So my eyes look weary, like, you know, those people, and God bless them. They don't mean it, right? But you walk into a room and like, hey, what's up? Man, you look tired, right? You're right. I do, and I am. But can you lead with something? Like, do you see the game? Like, come back to that. Don't lead with the, right? Well, our eyes can often be an indicator of a lot of other things. Right? And if you're here today and it's like, man, you don't even want to look anybody in the eye because you know how weary your eyes probably look. There's a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to the earth, and he stood on some soil across the ocean, and he boldly proclaimed, and it was recorded for us, translated into English, and we're looking at it today. He says, I want you to come to me. Who, Jesus? Who do you want on your team? All who are weary. If you're just worn out, and the context here is not physically as much as emotionally and spiritually, if you're just done, if you got nothing left, Jesus picked you. He said, come to me. Not just who weary, but who are burdened. There's a young lady, I like to call her young because she's my age. We went to high school together. Went to elementary, middle school, high school, knew her well. She's a friend. We moved here, found out she lives in the Raleigh-Durham area. I'll just go ahead and, we can say names here, right? Her name, I'll tell her to listen to this. Her name's Julie Kirkendall. That was her maiden name. Now it's Julie Forrest. We're Facebook friends. We actually, our daughters played ball against each other a few years ago. We got to reconnect. But I remember so vividly, she's a sweet Christian girl I went to high school with, and she would constantly be on me. She thought that I needed another mother. She would constantly be on me at school about my book bag, right? I'd be wearing, because I was lazy and I did not want to go to my locker between every class. So I thought, hey, let's be efficient. I put every book I had in my book bag. That was my locker, right? And this might shock some of you because you didn't know me then, but back then I was a frail, thin little dude, right? All right, I wasn't all ripped like I am now, right? So I don't know why that's funny, but so she would, I remember, oh, so like every week she'd be like, David, like take some books out of your book bag. And I'm like, what? I got it. What she saw that I didn't see was me just like being hunched over. I think I do have some shoulder issues from high school of wearing all my books on my book bag. And that picture of somebody just like beat down, they don't even know it sometimes. That's what's packed into the English word translated burdened. Right? You're just heavy, and it's not heavy with books on your back. You're heavy with life. You're heavy with scars. You're heavy with worry. You're heavy with fear. You're heavy with relationships. You're heavy with finances. You're heavy with stress. And Jesus said, hey, if you fit into that category, so you're weary, not just in your eyes, but in your soul, and you're burdened, like you got stuff weighing you down, that's who I want. Come to me. And it's specifically talking about religiously burdened. Man, if you grew up in a scenario or a church where you came to a service and you left man, heavy of all that you're not and all that you got to do and all that you better. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus said, hey, I need you. I pick you. I want you. Heavy, burdened, weary people, and I will give you rest. What kind of rest? Well, he tells us, next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, not for your bodies, better than that, for your souls. Now, he starts with something we got to explain because it's not, he says, take my yoke. Say that word for me. Say yoke. Yoke. Everybody say yoke.
Yoke.
Yoke. That's a fun word. I've been saying it all week. Yoke. Yoke. Yoke, yoke, yoke. Yoke them. Dwight. I don't know. Yoke. There's a lot. And it's not an egg yolk, right? That's what I think of. Egg yolk. It's not a, it's yolk. It's an old farming thing. We don't need it as much because of the tools and stuff we have. But we got to understand, because I didn't understand, and we've been talking about it with some guys in the church, like just this verse for months, of what does it look like for me to take Jesus' yoke upon me? Because yoke, I just like to say the word, but it's got to mean something. Take my yoke upon me. Well, yoke is what they use. We got a picture of it on the screen. They would take two ox, which I think the plural of ox, oxen, right? Or two cows, which are cattle. We won't keep playing that game, right? So two animals, and what they figured out is if one could pull 1,000 pounds and one could pull 1,000 pounds, that somehow together they could pull more than 2,000 pounds. Collectively, so they would put them, and I watched a video of them putting one of those things on them, and they, the cows just sit there and like let them do it. It's kind of crazy, and they hook it up and they fasten it, and then they're pulling as one. Right, so they would create and hand carve these yokes, and they would go to great lengths so it wouldn't hurt their necks. Now, I saw this picture and I just hesitated to use it because the verse is Jesus saying to you, take my yoke upon you. That doesn't look fun. Right? So I want you to see the visual, but I don't want you to see the visual, but I want you to see the visual, because Jesus, got to stay with me. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you, but it's different. Right? Because it's not getting in there with another animal. It's getting in there. Jesus is inviting you to yoke with him. Like side by side, here's what they would do in the first century. They would put a younger, inexperienced, didn't really know what's going on animal, and they would yoke that animal up with, you know, the one who knew and was stronger. Because the stronger, experienced animal would kind of do the work and show the way until the younger one figured it out. Right, and so much, there's an analogy here that there's so much of my Christian life was spent thinking, I'm not in a yoke with Jesus, I'm in a yoke on my own. Jesus is over there on the sidelines clapping when I do well and scolding when I do bad. And the reality is Jesus says, no, I've got a yoke, I'm going to be there with you, take my yoke upon you. It's not going to be manipulation or fear-based or guilt-based or... It's going to be Jesus' loving yoke, and I, Jesus, am going to do the heavy lifting for you. I'm going to do it with you, but in reality, like, I'm going to do the heavy stuff, and I'm going to, what's he say? He said, I want you to learn from me. That's powerful, right? He does not say to you today, wherever you're at in your life, whatever age, whatever season, he's not saying, hey, go figure it out and do better. It's not Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, I've got to, like, come on in here with me in this yoke. Connect. The deal of the yoke is when you're fastened in there, you're connected to that other animal, like it or not. Jesus is saying, we're not going to force this. This is voluntary, but I'm asking you, come be yoked with me. Be connected, abide, be attached in me, and you're going to learn from me. Meaning, Jesus said, I already know you don't know. I already know that you don't know what you don't know, and you would only know it through me. I'm not mad at you. Right now we see, like, I just love, there's good coaches in this church, and there's power in good coaches, right? They're influential, good teachers. My goodness, teachers and coaches have so much influence. Don't forget that in the hard days of November, right? Teachers and coaches. But you could see a kid, especially, you know, middle school kind of kid, you can see their eyes light up when they realize, hey, when I mess up, the coach is going to correct me, but he's not going to lose his mind, or she's not going to lose her mind about me messing up. The freedom that comes, like, hey, they don't want to just embarrass me. They actually want to teach me. This freedom, my kids just step into that all the time. I see it over and over. Now, I'm not saying, like, don't. Like, a good coach calls you out. And Jesus will, too. But he wants to teach you. He wants you to learn from me. And then, this is so huge that he would say this next line. Jesus, no one's talking, like, the context, no one's talking about humble and gentle. Jesus is already saying what we know, what he knows we'll struggle with. Hey, come to me. Who, Jesus? The weary, the burdened. I want you. And I want you to take this yoke. I want you to connect with me, Jesus. Take this yoke upon me, and I'm going to teach you. And listen, even though you didn't ask, I know what you're going to think. I'm humble. I'm gentle. I'm not going to hurt you. I want the best for you. I love you. There's no reason for him to talk about learn from me, humble and gentle, unless he knew in our nature and in our world and sometimes even in church culture. Jesus, people try to hijack Jesus and make him something he's not. Let him speak for himself. You that are in here and you're seeking and you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, or maybe you made a decision for Jesus months ago and now you're not even sure if it was real. Listen, let Jesus speak for himself. He says, come in, come in, get in here with me. Yoke with me and I'm going to teach you, and I'm gentle. No matter what you might have heard, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. He's going out of his way to say, that's not who I am. He cares for you. Why is he saying he's humble? Because really, if anybody deserves not to be humble, it's Jesus. Because everything actually, arrogant people think everything's about them. Everything actually is about Jesus. Right? We sing that. Jesus is the center. So he should, but yet, he lives so humbly. He served. He went to the cross on our behalf. And he's letting us know, listen, arrogant people don't notice your stuff. Right? Arrogant people are so involved with themselves, they're so self-absorbed. Jesus is like, listen, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to notice. I know what you're carrying. I know what you're bringing. I know why you're weary. I know why you're burdened. I know all that, and it doesn't scare me. Come on, get in here. Not come to church, not read your Bible, not sit 5 minutes and be still. Those are all good things if they flow out of what Jesus really wants, and he wants you to be connected to him. We preach this message, now it's become part of our vocabulary as a church, about trusting versus believing, and believing doesn't really matter much at the end of the day. When you see believe in Scripture, you should translate it as trust, because that's what's packed into the Greek word believe, is this trust. You can believe God all day without being in a yoke, without being connected and attached and doing this together. Whatever you face this week, because we got stuff in the room, right? Whatever's waiting for you, Jesus does not want to come here, huddle, 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 back to the sports now. Huddle, here's your instructions, now go play. That's not Jesus. That's what a coach does. That's not Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going with you. Where we, what we got? What's waiting on us? And here's the yoke. Let's do this together. Don't go ahead of me, but also don't come and huddle up and then go try to do it for me. I want to do it with you, through you, in you. Take my yoke upon you. I'll teach you. I'm humble and gentle. Man, and what we're finding as a church is when you step in and you allow that yoke, that surrender that Vassie talked about, you're giving up control. But when you step into that, this joy and this peace that is so woven through the entire New Testament, it becomes real. And Jesus is legit in what he said in the verse. You will find rest. We're not talking about a Sunday afternoon nap, as good as they are. We're talking about rest, not for your body, but for your soul. And then he kind of sums it up in the next verse where he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are we sure that's Jesus talking? Because that is not the Jesus that some of you have experienced. Right? He's just saying, hey, there's a yoke. Let's use this yoke because people understand farming. Jesus says, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. I'll teach you. I will teach you. Like, have you ever had a great teacher? I hope you have. Right? Have you ever had a bad teacher? Okay. You remember the difference? Right? Bad teachers, you just want to get out of the class. Right? It's not about learning. It's just about surviving. Man, a great teacher makes you actually care about the subject. Man, they draw you in. And it doesn't feel like, man, those classes, I didn't have many. Probably had more to do with me than the teacher. But man, those classes in college, I remember staring at the clock. Like, replace the battery, because I promise you that sucker had moved in 10 minutes. Versus those classes where I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is real. This is impacting my life. And oh no, no, not the class can't be over already. It goes by so fast when it's real. Jesus is saying, that's me. I'm a teach you. Take my yoke. Man, I want to teach. Like, some of you got stuff that Jesus isn't allowed into because you're like, Jesus wouldn't have a clue and I'm so embarrassed. And Jesus is like, no, get in here with me. Take this yoke. I'll teach you. I'll teach you. I know more about that than you would ever imagine. And I'm humble and gentle. And just so you know, let me describe my yoke to you. My yoke is easy. Ha! Wait a second now, because we talk about counting the cost. We talk about denying ourselves and picking up our cross. And now, like, how is his yoke easy? Why that word? Right? Because if we got to plow this field, right, and you put me beside sumo wrestler, right? Strongest, biggest, baddest dude you could imagine, and I'm in this yoke with him, like I'm gonna have a pretty easy day, right? Because he's gonna do all the work and I'm gonna walk beside him, right? It looks like we're doing this together. Really, he's doing the work and I'm just kind of balancing out my side, right? In that way, Jesus says, my yoke is easy because everything you're facing, I got answers for. I'm not asking you to have answers. I'm not asking you to do the work. I did the work. When he said this, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he knew he was going to go accomplish the work that we couldn't accomplish. I'll do the work. I just invite you in. All I'm asking you to do is connect, to walk with me, to be tight with me, to have a relationship with me. I'll carry you. When it gets hard, I'll just pull you closer. I'm not scared of any of this. I've defeated death. I got you. My yoke is easy because I love you. I'm not trying to abuse you or use you to get a job done. I want you close to me more than anything. That's what Jesus says. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Right? The context here was religion. He was talking to people that were beat down by religion from coming out of this system. And we'll talk about Sabbath. We're going to get real practical with this next week. But he's coming out of this system where God gave commands for the good of the people, and then man had taken these commands and added all this extra, 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 so now nobody could, like, survive. You couldn't take a step without messing up. And they combined all of man's commands to God's commands and made them all God's commands, even though they weren't all God's commands. And now people just walked in fear because they just couldn't keep up. And Jesus is speaking against that. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, when I sinned, I was unclean, and there was 1,000 ways I could become unclean as a Jewish man. I would have to leave the camp. I would have to go through a purification process. I would have to jump through all these hoops in order to be clean again, and that was only temporary till I messed up again. Imagine the pressure. Imagine the spiritual backpack these people wore, you know, constantly. Like, you just know you're going to mess up, and you never know if am I really messing up according to God, or is this messing up according to what this dude says that God said, and how do I know? And they were just worn and beaten down, and Jesus shows up and says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Because instead of asking you to jump through all these hoops to make yourself clean, I showed up. I'm clean and holy and righteous. I've been tempted in every way. I've never and I will never give in to it. I'm going to die a righteous, holy death. And I'm going to do it for you. So the pressure's on me, not on you. So now my burden is light. Your way to peace, your way to freedom, your way to relationship is through faith in Jesus, not in keeping yourself clean. The pressure is off. Now, I know what I would think if I were some of you is, listen, that's good and all, but if my choice is yoking with Jesus and yoking with a cow, maybe I'll take Jesus. But here's what I'm going to choose. I'm a yoke with nobody. I ain't putting that thing on me. I'm going to do what I want and do as I please, and that's the way to go. Well, the gospels, we define it as the, which is from Scripture, the incredible news of our rescue and adoption. Well, rescue means you got to be rescued from something. That something is sin, death, hell. And the reality is, doesn't mean you're a bad person, but everybody in this room is yoked or enslaved to sin. Like you come into this world, the sinful world, with your sinful nature, and you, at some level, you rebel against God, and now you are destined to sin. You can't get it off of you. So Jesus is saying, you're going to be yoked, you're going to be enslaved to something. Instead of something that's going to hurt and destroy you, I came to free you from that, and I don't ask you to constantly keep yourself clean. I'm going to do that for you. What I ask from you is you to get near me, to attach your life to mine, to be intimate, to be connected. His word, abide, take my yoke. It's easy. In comparison, my burden is light. It's not about religion or legalism or self-righteousness or keeping up appearances. No, the pressure is all on Jesus to do and live through you. Well, I want to experience that. Well, you got to get tight. You got to take his yoke. And you start to see him actually working in your life, in your school, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your finances, in your schedule. And this is a little bit of a detour, but it's really not of cool it now, because how in the world can I come to Jesus with my weariness and my burden and take his yoke upon me and believe that he's humble and gentle and find rest for my souls if I'm running 1,000 miles an hour? Some of you, like, Jesus would have to lasso you to yoke you, because you're going like, hey, Jesus, Sunday morning, Jesus, yay, throw up a prayer, help me find, Jesus, like, hey! Come to me. Come to me. Slow down. Come here. Weary, burdened, take this yoke upon you. I want you connected to me. Listen, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to walk you through this. It's not an overnight. I'm good for you. I'm humble. I'm gentle. I love you. Then you'll find rest for your souls. And remember, my yoke is easy, man. My burden is light. I didn't ask you to go die for everybody's sins because you couldn't do it anyway. I did it for you. Just step to me. Come to me and stay connected. Jesus, probably one of the most famous messages he ever gave. I'm going to show you just a segment of it in a second. But really, this works so well. I'm telling you, this started with a conversation early summer of me saying out loud, hey, this, come to me. This isn't like a weekly message for me. This has been much deeper. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. I'm humble, I'll teach you. I'm humble and gentle in heart. You find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, burden is light. I said out loud, I don't really think I have a clue what that means for my life. Right? This wasn't like 2007. This was like a few months ago. I don't know what that means. Like, I know I can explain it to you in preacher talk, but I wasn't walking in that. I'm still figuring that out, but it's connected to this pace of life and peace and just in every situation. For this week, the goal is for you to yoke with Jesus, like to imagine yourself connected, not in a horrible, ugly animal way, but in a beautiful, he loves you, he created you, and that's what it all hinges on. Do you believe that he cares for you? Because I ain't getting in a yoke. Right, my kids are getting old enough to start to think about driving and riding with kids that do drive, and like, hey, no, I love you, you're a cool guy, I'm sure you're a responsible young man. My kid's not getting in the car with you, right? Because I don't have that level of trust, right? And this is not getting in a car, this is getting in a yoke. Man, this is, man, you're doing, you can't get out of it, like you're connected. You're not getting in that with Jesus unless you're sure that he loves you. And he cares for you, and he knows and wants the best for you. That's what we got to deal with before we leave this room. Here in this most famous message, he wanted us to know that he's trustworthy, and he taught us this way from Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Right? This isn't an anti-sparrow message. Right? So if you love sparrows, don't get offended. Jesus is saying, look, it's actually a pro-sparrow message. Jesus is saying, there is not a bird that falls to the ground and God doesn't notice. Like, he is that aware and that powerful and that everything is present and clear to him at all times. He created the sparrow, right? He knows the sparrow represents, you know, God and his creativity and all that. And Jesus is saying, listen, not one sparrow falls and God doesn't notice. But in contrast to the sparrow, I created you, men and women, and man and woman, humankind. I created you in my own image. You're different. You have something that a sparrow doesn't have. This soul we're talking about, this ability to think and choose and love and grace, like that's just for you. I created you, and listen, I know you. He said, I know how many hairs are on your head. Right? For some of us, that's a quick count, right? But the point is not how many hairs. The point is God's wanting you to know it's not this big, you know, everybody, God loves you. No, it's personal. I've counted the hairs. I know everything there is to know about you. I know what you're thinking. I know your doubts. I know your struggles. I know more about you than you could ever know about yourself. I wrote the manual not just on humans, on you. And knowing all your struggles and all your issues, I invite you into this yoke-connected relationship with me. And listen, a bird falls to the ground and God notices, but you are of much more value than a bird. And everything about living this yoke life hinges on, do you believe that he knows your name today? That he cares for you. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but also God so loved you. It was personal. Your sin was part of the cross experience for Jesus. He loves you. He knows what you're thinking at this moment. I don't. And if you believe he cares for you intimately, man, that draws you into this lifestyle where you're connected to him. Man, I just ask you to let God in heaven speak to your soul. Let him speak to your soul through the lyrics of this song.
He watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I 'cause I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. He dies on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The song I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and he watches me.
Man, yeah. I really challenge you to let that sink in. I know that God wants you to hear and feel the reality of him watching over you and whatever you're facing in your life. And I'm confident there's folks in this room whose next step is surrender, right? For those of you following Jesus, it's every day. It's today. It's again tomorrow. Man, I want to connect with you, Jesus. I want to do this not on my own. I want to do this with you. And you'll teach me, and you're humble and you're gentle and believe in that and walking in that. But that all begins in an initial once and for all surrender decision. That's the beauty of baptism, is this burial, this surrender to Jesus. And some of you are ready to make this initial surrender. We're talking this week and planning. We're going to have a baptism Sunday, one more. We got people ready to be baptized. We're going to have one more in 2019. I want some of you to pray about if this next baptism Sunday is your time to once and for all surrender, give up in a beautiful way, control of your life to one who loves you and sees you and watches you and cares for you. There's one more thing I want to leave you with, and we're going to pray out. We have so many of you that are, we talk about church at the movie theater. We moved here in January. So many of you never experienced Relentless Church at the theater. So many of you are new to us in 2019. And even if you're not, as you hang around with us for weeks and weeks turn into months, we try to be clear about next step. If you've never been to our partnership experience, we have one more of those this year. It's not tomorrow night. It's a week from tomorrow night. But we got to get an idea. We got childcare. We just need to know you're coming in advance. I'm asking you, and this is no commitment. There's no sales pitch in this. It's just, hey, the inside of where we're going and how you might fit into that when you're ready. And that's a week from tomorrow night. And we would love, if you're new, or even if you're not new and you've never been to partnership and you're ready, man, sign up for that. And we would love to walk with you where we're going as a church. Let me ask you to stand. I'm going to pray us home. Father, I know what it's like to be a dad of three and how hard it is for me and my wife just to keep up. So we can't really relate, God, to you being father of an unthinkable number. But somehow, because you're not like us, you created us, but your power and your ability is beyond what we can really think, that you can father all of us at the same time, that you can watch over us and know us and create us and know us intimately and invite us into this beautiful, surrendered relationship. God, I know you're real. I know your spirit's working in this room. So I just pray we would leave here, each person would leave here with a more clear picture of what it looks like this week to connect and to walk intimately with you. God, may Jesus' words echo in our souls, not just this week, but for every day we live on this earth. May we remember, may we digest, may we trust these words when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take this yoke because it's easy and my burden is light." God, may we remember and believe and trust and live that out this week. And may we come back again next week with a friend on our side. We pray and go now. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Go Panthers.